I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verse 2 there. I want to speak to you on the subject of who are the elect. The doctrine of election is a very important doctrine in the Bible. It's misunderstood by a lot of people, but it's a very important doctrine. You see, before the foundation of the world, God knew that Adam would sin. And so he decided at that point what the consequence of that sin was going to be. And he decided that all who sin would die spiritually. He decided that all who died physically while they were dead spiritually would spend eternity in the lake of fire. He also decided to send his son to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind, that whoever believed on the Son would have everlasting life. That's the election. Now, we want to know who the elect are. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. And so he knows who's going to be in heaven. That does not determine it, and we'll look at that in a little bit. But he knows who we are. So all through the Bible, he refers to the elect. And we are elect in his mind because he knows who we are. He knew from the beginning, before he ever created us, who would believe and who would not believe. We were reading the other day in the book of Ezekiel. And the Lord said, you go and tell them what I said, whether they will turn or whether they will forbear. It's up to them. You see, we had the choice to make. Now, you think God didn't know what they were going to do? He absolutely knew. But that did not determine the choice. They determined the choice. And then God knew what the choice was going to be. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you made a way that we could escape. You made a way that we can spend eternity in heaven with you, that we might escape the awful place called hell. Lord, I pray for every soul that does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, that you would have mercy on them. Lord, I pray that somehow you might use us as a church to reach out to the lost, that we might come to know the lost around about us and that they might come to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the test that takes place to determine whether we are part of the elect or not is in our time. While we're here on the earth, that's when we have to make this choice. That choice was not made for us. We have to make it. And now's the time. You see, it is time for us to choose one way or the other while we're on this planet. Because when we leave here, the choice is over with. There's no other opportunity to choose. Now listen to what he says. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. You see the obedience there? The obedience is what determines whether or not you are a part of the elect. He says here in Romans chapter 6, he said, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Thank you, Noel. I appreciate that. I think I sung too much this morning. Never sing enough. That's right. The will of God is made clear in the Bible how we get to heaven. Okay? It is very clear how we get to heaven. Listen to what John 6:40 says. And this is the will of him that sent me. This is Jesus speaking. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's where the obedience comes in. When we see the Son through the gospel and we believe on him, we have everlasting life. The gospel message shares with us the wonderful election that God has made. He has made a way of escape. We can be saved if we put our trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. When we obey the gospel and we put our trust in Jesus, then we are saved and we enter into that group called the elect. I'm good, Johnny. Thank you. When we enter that group, it doesn't surprise God. God already knows. But his will is for us in our time to decide. Somebody says God doesn't give us a choice. He forces a choice. You have to choose one way or the other. If you choose to reject the Lord, you choose to go to hell. If you choose to receive the Lord, you choose to go to heaven. It's your choice. Nobody will ever be able to stand at the great white throne and say, Lord, you sent me to hell against my will. Every one of us go to hell if we go to hell by choice. Now let's look at the whosoever. The whosoever in the Bible is really, really, really important. One of the dangers of the new ideal of the elect, that God just randomly chooses who he's going to save and he randomly chooses who he's going to send to hell, the danger with that is that there is no whosoever. You see, the reason I can be saved, and Brother Rusty, I'm going to use your little phrase here. Faith does no good without a promise. Has to be connected to a promise. The promise that I claim to give me eternal life is that Jesus said, whosoever will may come. That includes me. Now, there's nothing in the Bible to tell me whether I'm elect or not. And if I don't have a whosoever, I have nothing to base my faith on. I can hope, but I have no promise of salvation without the whosoever. The devil has worked hard in our American culture to take away the whosoever, so that there is no promise that we can put our trust in. If you're just trusting that you're one of the elect, you're in trouble. There's no promise that you're one of the elect. You have to put your trust in the fact that you are one of the whosoever, because that includes everybody. Listen to what he says here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. The world includes everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever. Whosoever. That's all of us, folks. That gives us a promise that we can claim. But you take away the whosoever and you're just sunk. That's the reason the devil has worked so hard to take that away. People who are just hoping that they're a part of the elect have no promise of that. Their name's not in the Bible anywhere. Can't find it. How do I know I'm one of the elect? I'll tell you how I know. Because I've obeyed the gospel. And Jesus said, whoever will may come. I'm one of the whosoever's. I came. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. No doubt about it. Because he has made the way. Now I want you to see the waste. Here's the problem. And the reason the devil wants to take away the whosoever is to send as many as he can to hell. You say, why would the devil care whether I go to hell or not? The devil is wicked. He hates everything. That's good. He wants to send everybody to hell. He hates you. He would destroy you if he could. The only reason he hadn't destroyed you already is because of the grace of God protecting us. Now I want you to see what the Lord has to say. This is not my opinion. This is what Jesus himself says. The next verse, right after John 3:16, that we all know so well, comes John 3:17 and following. Listen to what he says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Understand what he said. He didn't say, and this is the condemnation, that they weren't part of the elect. He didn't say that, did he? He said, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. It was available to them, and they chose darkness. That's the problem. And I want to tell you, that's a tremendous waste. You live your life out on this planet, and you settle for plan B salvation. You invest your life in whatever you want to invest your life in, and your few short years expire. You spend eternity in the lake of fire. I want you to know eternity is a long time. All of a sudden, this 100 years that we spend down here gets smaller and smaller and smaller. In about 100 billion years from now, those people in hell are going to say, why did I waste my opportunity? Why did I think it was so important to invest my life in all this other stuff instead of Jesus? For that little short time that I had on the earth, I wasted my time. Now here I am in hell with no hope of ever getting out. What a waste. Now I want you to look at the time. Listen to our verse again. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That has to do with time. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, you see, foreknowledge has to do with time. Jesus knew what was going on before he ever made the world. You know, I was thinking about God and his existence. And I thought to myself, what was God doing for the eons of time before he made the world? Who knows? God only knows what he was doing. But he was doing something. There never was a time when there was no God. That just is mind-boggling. We serve a big God. But you see, God knew the end from the beginning. He knows it all. You know why? Because he's not bound by time. He lives in the eternal now. You go 100 billion years in the future, he's there. You go 100 billion years in the past, he's there. You go last year, he's there. You go next year, he's there. He doesn't have to get in a time machine because he's in all those times. All the time. If that don't mess with your mind, you got a better grip on reality than I have. There is a tremendous truth there. You see, we can't understand that. So when God says, I know who's going to get saved, we say, oh, well, that settles it then. Just because he knows doesn't determine, it just knows. You know, he could. Now listen. I'm not saying God couldn't just pick and choose. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. I'm saying he didn't do that because his word said he didn't do that. See, I'm not saying that wouldn't be fair. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is God tells us who can be saved is whosoever. So he didn't limit anybody from heaven. Let's look at prophecy. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Listen to this. Remember the former things of old, for I'm God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. See what he said? He said, I know the end from the beginning. I know it all. That's foreknowledge, folks. Now I want you to think with me for a minute. There's a picture in the book of Revelation, we're going to read it in a minute, of the elect. Picture right there around the throne. The Lord took the picture, and it's settled. It will not change because it was taken in the future when we're all there around the throne. He took that picture, and he put it in the book of Revelation for us. He just didn't identify the faces. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 5, we're going to read the first 12 verses. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You see, the 24 elders are made up of the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs, and they represent all the people saved through their ministry. You say, how do you know that? Well, they're from every tongue, every kindred, and every nation. All those just happen to be Jews. But you see, through their ministry, they have people around the throne out of every tongue, every kindred, every nation. Folks, that's the elect. That's all the folks who will one day stand before God's throne, and John's already seen those people. And God took that picture, and it's there. Now, I'm going to take a picture this morning. I want to show you something. If I can get my trusty camera to work here. All right, got you. Now, a couple of you wasn't smiling, but that picture is settled forever, right? Somebody comes in late, they don't get in the picture. You can't get in the picture. Let's suppose we show that to somebody. I said, well, I want to be in the picture. I can't put them in the picture. It's done. I can take another picture, but I can't put them in that picture. Now, let's suppose that I went, got me a time machine, and I went back to the first Sunday of 2018, and I got my picture. And I said, this is the congregation that's going to be at New Beginnings Baptist Church the first Sunday of 2019. And somebody said, well, I'm not in that picture. I want to be in that picture. Can't do it. It's sealed. That's the way it's going to be. Right? Now, let me ask you this. How many of you were forced to come this morning? You made decisions all along the way. Some of you decided to be late. Some of you decided to be early. Some of you struggled a little bit to get here. Some of you didn't feel like coming, but you came anyway. All of those decisions were free, right? Nobody forced anybody. But it's settled now. See, it's settled. The picture around the throne is settled. The elect's the elect, period. Nobody is going to get in that picture. You know why? Because they chose not to be there. That wasn't God's fault, just like it wasn't my fault. But somebody wasn't in the picture this morning. God only extends the opportunity. And he knows whether you're going to take it or not. I want you to know something. That's free will. We all have to choose. God then determines what he's going to do by the election based on our choice. If you choose to stay in the first Adam, you're going to burn in hell. You choose to enter into the second Adam, you're going to go to heaven. You see, here's the thing. There's a door that leads into Christ. And Jesus is it. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Who? Any man. Wait a minute, what if they're not in the picture? You say, well, I don't know if I'm one of the elect or not. Just get on your knees and get elected. Just get on your knees, get elected. You can be a part of the elect. And you know what? When you get there, you're going to find you're in the picture. You see, as long as you're breathing, you can get elected. But when you leave this world, it's over. The decision has been made at that point. Now I want you to see the performance. Listen to this. This is important. Luke 1, 45 through 55. And blessed is he, is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, we're talking about something different. But I want you to know that what God promises, he will do. And if you believe that promise, you are blessed. Let's go and read this. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Now, what was the promise that he was going to place Jesus in Mary? Right? He's promised to do the same thing for us. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, God is going to place Jesus in you. And he's going to place you in Jesus. Of God are you in Christ Jesus. You see, that's God's work. And what he has promised, he will do. There will be a performance of those things that are promised to you. See what she's saying? And henceforth, all of the nations of the world will be blessed through Jesus Christ. Let's look at the truth. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. What's the scope of the elect? Revelation 22:17 says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see that whosoever? He puts that in all over the Bible. Because you see, the scope of salvation is to whosoever will. If God had just said, I'm going to save everybody, we'd all be saved. If he said, I'm not going to save anybody, we'd all go to hell. But what he said was, whosoever will may come. And so that settles it. You see, the people who think Jesus chooses for some to go to hell missed an important verse in the book of Peter. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't ever try to put on Jesus that he wills for anybody to go to hell. Because that's not his will. His will is to save everybody. It's just that not everybody will repent from themselves as Savior and turn to him. Let's look at the Savior for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means you can take this at face value. It's true. That's what that means. Okay? For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of who? All men, especially of those that believe. You see, the distinction is this. Jesus is the Savior of every member of Adam's race, but it doesn't get applied until we believe. That's the reason he's especially our Savior, because we believe. Those who reject Jesus just blow it. He's got salvation there, and he holds it out, and he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Covering everybody. But he says, you wouldn't hear. You wouldn't respond. On judgment day, Jesus said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And this is the will of him that sent me. Whoever sees the Son and believes on him shall have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. What about our security? We have free will, but can we choose to walk away from God once we've put our trust in him? That's an important question. What happens when we sin? You see, a lot of people don't understand that point. Listen to what Jesus says about this. John 5:24. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you get that? See what he's saying? He first says that right now we have everlasting life. How long is that going to last? That's forever. There's no end to everlasting life. How are you going to end that? You see, if Jesus gives you everlasting life and you've got everlasting life, there's no way to end that. 100 billion years from now, you still have everlasting life. No end to that. And then he says, on top of the fact that you have everlasting life, he shall not come into condemnation. Mark it down. Don't ever forget that. That's where our confidence comes from. The Lord says that we are to hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. The only way we can have that confidence is we have to have it in a promise. And the promise is that we have everlasting life and we shall not come into condemnation. I'm not waiting till I die to get eternal life. Amen? Yes, got it. Right now, I'm going to live forever. Now, y'all can bury this old body one of these days, but I'm going to live forever. The Lord has already given me eternal life. Right now, are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. We're still walking around in this old earthen vessel, and we still have a whole lot of the appearance of this world hanging on to us, a whole lot of the residue of our sinful flesh hanging on to us. But right now, we're the sons of God and the daughters of God. And one day when Jesus, who is our life, by the way, shall appear, we're going to be like him because we'll see him like he is. I want you to know my security is not based on my performance. It's based on my Savior. I have a Savior who has made a promise to me that nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing. You say, what about if you sin? Doesn't he hate you then? He still loves me. Sometimes he whoops me, but he still loves me. Parents don't hate their children when they have to discipline them. They do it in love if they're a good parent. And Jesus is a good parent. Folks, we have a truth that the devil would like to squelch. Amen? He don't want you to believe what we've been talking about this morning. But I want you to know it's all true. If you're here this morning and you have never received Christ as your Savior, and let me qualify that. You see, a whole lot of people in America today are trusting their performance. You can't trust your performance and Christ at the same time. Can't be done. It's either all of grace or it's all of works. Because if it's grace, then it's not works. And if it's works, it's not grace. And if you think that there is anything you can do today to take away your salvation, you're probably not saved. You probably don't understand salvation. Salvation is the work of Almighty God on an undeserving sinner. We have nothing to add to the equation. We're a zero. And until you know that and you just throw yourself upon the mercy of God and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, you're still playing that old save myself game. That's where repentance comes in, folks. We all start out trying to save ourselves by being good, doing good deeds, all the different religious things we can do. But in order to be saved, we have got to repent of self as Savior. And come to the temple to pray, not like the Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of everything I own. See where his faith was? But the publican got it right. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't have all that stuff he's got. I can't trust in any of that. What I need is a Savior. The Lord said he went away justified rather than the other fellow. You see, if I try to save myself, then I exclude myself from God's grace. I have got to give that up. I have got to completely divest myself of faith in anything else but Jesus Christ. And when I do that, then he will save me. Lift me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the solid rock. If you've never experienced that this morning, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and he will save you in a heartbeat. You don't have to beg for salvation. He died to save you. He wants to save you that bad. What you have to do is divest yourself of faith in everything else. You come like the old song writer said, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. It's the only hope. And Jesus will save you. It's like that. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne to thank you for your love and your mercy, the truth and the promises of your word. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on us. And Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on the one whose soul is nearest hell. Lord, don't let us stand back in pride. Don't let us count on a hope-so salvation, but help us to believe in a no-so salvation. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.